46,000 farmers around the country have already signed up to take part in ACRES, Ireland's new agri-environmental climate scheme set up under the country's CAP strategic plan. €1.5 billion has been allocated for the scheme, which aims to address biodiversity decline, protect our waterways and peatlands, stop flooding and get rid of invasive species. Patricia Dean is project manager of the ACRES cooperation scheme for Kerry and Cork, and she says a huge number of farmers in Kerry have come on board.
We had 3,024 applicants come in under Tranche 1, and that's absolutely fantastic. It shows, I suppose, us a very strong indication that farmers really want to engage with environmental actions, and they value their farms and they want to improve them. They want to do the right thing. So often it's just, I suppose, to show them what's suitable on their farms, and that's what makes this agri-environmental scheme very different. It's not generic. It's going to be rolling out measures that the farmer wants to roll out himself, but that are actually useful on his farm and that will improve his habitat score on his farm as well.
Ireland's peatlands are very important carbon sinks. Patricia says they work with farmers to make sure their peatlands are in good condition and able to store carbon.
In the cooperation areas, it's probably looking at those high nature value farmlands, which would oftentimes be the upland areas, the upland commonages. So I suppose when we're looking at commonages, they'd be mostly peatland. If peatlands are in good condition, they naturally store carbon. So that's very important, because carbon sequestration is really a big thing. We'll often hear about carbon and our carbon going up, and that's what's increasing our temperature on the planet. So if we store that carbon, and peatlands are really, really good. So people often hear about trees, and they place a big importance in planting trees. They are important, but in peatlands, trees wouldn't grow very well. So keeping those peatlands in very good condition will actually store the carbon. So that's really important. So we're doing assessments on those to see, are they actually in good condition? And if they're not, then it's trying to work with the landowners that own that land to try and improve it. And on commonages, it could be multiple shareholders that own one piece of land. So it's trying to bring everybody together and try and form a unified plan of action.
That must be difficult though, is it?
Yes, it is. We know that, you know, there has been a lot of controversy, I suppose, and not everybody gets on. It's human nature, and there could be things going back to years and years ago, and then there could be things now where people might be doing what they think is the right thing, but it might not be. So I suppose a big part of this, Sari, is education, and our role will be training with the farmers and their advisors, because we'll be working very closely with the advisors as well for the rollout of the ACRES cooperation project. So it's important, and that's why it's called a cooperation project, that everybody works together. Because we take a lot of things for granted. Like I've said to you now, yes, peatlands store carbon. That wouldn't be widely known out there amongst the public. So our role will be to educate everybody and work with them, and we can see improvements then happening over time.
Promoting biodiversity is another important part of the ACRES scheme, and there are financial supports to encourage farmers to protect nature.
It could be a simple measure, putting up something like an owl box. You know, so if you've got owls in your farm, you won't need regentricide, because your owl will do all your catching of any of your vermin around your farm. So it's a very simple measure, but it's a very effective measure, you know. And there's big supports in terms of financial support to the farmers to incentivize these to occur as well. So I would say with the range of measures that is being developed now for the ACRES scheme, there should be something there that would be rolled out across every farm. But as I said, it's farm by farm level. So no two farms would likely be the same. Everybody will have different strengths and weaknesses and different priorities on the farm. So we'll say, for example, if you are in a pearl mussel area where you've pearl mussel catchment, we might work with you maybe to put in a riparian buffer area so you're protecting your watercourse. And then the farmer could say to me, well, what if I don't have any watercourse? What am I going to do? So then we'd say, well, what do you have? You might have ground nesting birds, you might have grouse, you might have hen harrier. So we want to protect those as well. And meanwhile, we want to incentivize you in the right way to encourage you to protect these very rare and threatened habitats and species on your farm, be it private land or commonage.
Mm-hmm. Are a lot of the measures, are they costly to put in?
Well, they're all going to be fully costed out, so the farmers are not going to be out of pocket for anything they're going to do. Obviously, it will take time to roll out some of the measures, and some of them are extremely expensive, but we want to cost them in the fairest way possible, so the incentive is there as well to actually carry out the action. So one of the really expensive things that we're looking at is the treatment of invasive species. So a lot of farmers under our previous agri-environmental scheme, a locally led agri-environmental scheme, was European Innovation Partnership Project. We focus very strongly on the eradication and the treatment of rhododendron ponticum. So a lot of people would say, look at that beautiful purple flower. And we'll say, unfortunately, that beautiful purple flower is an invasive. Mm-hmm. It takes over, it destroys habitats, it kills biodiversity. And in fact, it kills any animals that graze on it as well. So up to date, there has been no funding support for the farmers if they were trying to eradicate things like that. So at least now the New Acres is taking that into account as well. Mm-hmm. And what we'll do again, it goes back to training, ensuring that if you have it on your farm, that we will be able to show you the best treatment method. So you're just treating the invasive and you're not damaging in any other way, any other thing that could be on your farm.
Burning of scrubland is an issue every year with out of control gorse fires, causing huge damage to the environment. Patricia says land being valued in terms of how it helps our ecosystem instead of just food production will hopefully change that.
That goes back to, I suppose, maybe looking at production for years being the priority. There was a big strong push always, like if the land wasn't productive, you know, then it was no good. But I suppose now we're looking at a lot of these areas that we might say are not very productive in terms of producing a huge quantity of milk or beef or lamb, but they're really productive in terms of what they're giving us, what we call for our ecosystem services. So for things like water provision, clean air, storing carbon, there's a multitude of things, recreational amenity that we get from a lot of the mountain areas, for example. So we're looking at all of those, and we're saying they are also really, really important. So looking at scrub, there's now a high tolerance rate for our scrub. The Department of Agriculture said now you can have up to 50% of scrub on your parcel before you'd be impacted by any penalty. And again, where scrub might be an issue, there are other alternatives to actually burning, because if a burn goes wrong, and it can happen, it can have really detrimental consequences. So a good example of a detrimental consequence in our eyes, and farmers will know this from seeing areas where they were badly burnt, for example, is they, it burns out the moss layer. So these moss layer, there's nothing to hold the water. And when we look at flood prevention, holding back water on steep mountainsides is very important, so we're not flooding our lowland areas. So if there's no moss layer there, there's nothing to hold the water. So then we'd have flooding down lower. So everything is kind of trying to strike the balance. So it's not about telling farmers what they can and what they can't do. It's just about saying maybe how we can improve things. It's a gradual process. It's bit by bit over time. And if we all work together, we can make it work. And it's a long road, but it's a brand new start for the Department of Agriculture. It's a results-based scheme. It's the first of its type being rolled out on such a large scale across the country. Across the country, there's 46,000 farmers involved in this, just on the Acres General Land Cooperation. So it's a huge step forward, you know, and it's going to be challenging. Make no doubt about it. A lot of people will hear about timelines and things like that, you know, and extensions onto times, and it makes people very nervous, and the farmers are nervous, and the farm advisor is under pressure. But we can work together. We can get through it.
Yeah. In terms of the farmers themselves, do you think they're embracing it, or do you think they're worried that they won't actually be able to farm their land?
There is a little bit of worry out there. There's no doubt about it. And I suppose people that were involved with previous results based won't be as worried, because they will have gone through the process already, and they will understand that all the measures that we're suggesting, they're all voluntary. So no one is going to be forced to do anything at all. And again, if you don't have it in good condition, all it can do is improve, but you don't have to take on the measures. If you don't take on the measures, you just won't receive the payment on the results-based side of it. So again, there is worry out there, but a lot of it is probably unfounded. We need farming to continue. That is what rural Ireland depends on. And maintaining these habitats, they need to be farmed. They've been farmed for generations. We can't just abandon them now. So to encourage that, incentivise that, particularly for the next generation, it is so challenging trying to make a living from this land. They need to be supported, and they need to get stronger in economic outputs, actually, and they need to be supported more, in my own opinion, in that line.
Farmers who've not yet signed up to the Acres scheme will have another chance to join next year.